Did Bob McCown just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of this station. There, we're totally covered. Do your worst, Bob. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCown on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Primetime Sports, a special edition of Primetime Sports for Friday, July 31st. Jeff Blair sitting in for Bob McCown, but Mr. McCown will join us at 5 o'clock today. Paul Jones will be my co-host. We have given the roundtable the day off because we're going to be live covering the events at the Rogers Center this afternoon. Alex Anthopoulos expected to hold a press conference at 4:15. We will go there live. 6 o'clock, potentially a David Price press conference. And we're going to continue all for the whole 3 hours talking about the trade deadline and specifically the Blue Jays' moves at the trade deadline. Alex Anthopoulos made two moves today, continuing to use some of his minor league depth to get Ben Revere, a left-hand hitting outfielder, who has hit .320 this year against right-handed pitching. He restores a little bit of balance to the Blue Jays lineup. They also picked up a right-handed reliever in Mark Lowe from the Seattle Mariners. He will go into the bullpen and provide some mid-inning depth. Shai Davidi is our MLB insider in Sportsnet. Shai Davidi has done yeoman work in the past couple of days, actually the past week, and Shai Davidi joins us from the Rogers Center. Shai, thanks so much for doing this.
No problem, Jeff.
So the deadline is passed. We believe that Alex has everything Alex has done has been in, filed, reported. Your thoughts on this deadline?
Pretty shocking. You just look at the organizational track record, the front office track record, and none of it says what we've seen this week. But, I mean, it's 11 minor league pitchers in the four deals this week. And, you know, it's 13 if you count the Josh Donaldson deal over the past 8 months. It's been a real emptying out of the farm system. They still have some pieces left, but they have made every single effort they can this year to try and make 2015 count. So for a fan base that's often been skeptical, for players who have sometimes been skeptical, I think the message has been clear that they believe in this team and they're going to do everything, or they've done everything in their power to try and help them win.
And for people out there, I mean, obviously the debate here now is going to focus on the prospects that were given up. I mean, clearly you want to enjoy what you have. You should enjoy having David Price for the first 2 months, and I would hope that when David Price is out in the mound, people aren't sitting there, you know, I wonder what Daniel Norris is doing right now. I hope we can at least put that to rest for a couple of months. But that is a lot of minor league prospects. It's a lot of minor league pitchers. Marcus Stroman is still here. He will likely be able, or he's talking as if he expects to pitch in August. You still have Sanchez. You still have Osuna. Hutchison's not an old guy either. I mean, there's still some depth here in terms of young pitching. Not as much as there was, and John Harris and Sean Reed Foley are still around. There's still some depth here. But Shai, as someone who has covered this organization extensively and understands the minor league system better than just about anybody I know, give me your view of what the state of the minor league system is right now.
Well, they still have some upper-end talent, and now they've kind of, say for Dalton Pompey, they've really fleshed out the upper levels. A lot of their talent is in the lower levels of coming. You mentioned two of the key pitchers, and John Harris and Sean Reed Foley. Connor Green, another guy they really, really like, who's come on a bit this season. Anthony Alford is a center fielder who has a lot of people in the organization very excited, and they believe that there's a lot of upside in him. Rowdy Tellez, a hard-hitting first baseman, is a guy who's also made a bit of a move this season and someone who is suddenly up the depth chart. So what they've done is really removed a lot of the inventory. And in some ways, you kind of remove margin for error. But the Blue Jays have made a philosophy of stocking up on pitchers, in particular in the draft. And they've built up a lot of that currency, and they've spent it in a big way.
I got to let you run right now, Shai, very quickly, though. Ben Revere. How does Ben Revere fit into this picture?
Well, just got out of a chat with John Gibbons, and he envisions him using him in a platoon in the outfield, probably in the lower part of his lineup right now.
So he will not be leading off?
No, not as of yet.
Okay, great. Shai, thanks.
You got it, Jeff. Be well.
All righty, that's Shai Davidi. And there you go. So that answers one question, because some people, and I guess there's a possibility at some point that Ben Revere might end up, you might be able to use him at the top of the order. As I said, he certainly hits. He certainly hits right-handed pitching, but for now it'll be in a platoon situation in the bottom of the order. And again, that platoon, depending on how John Gibbons wants to use his outfielders, I would be stunned if it's any place other than left field. I can't imagine Kevin Pillar moving out of there, and I certainly can't imagine Jose Bautista being moved out of right field. So let's get you caught up to date a little bit as we await Alex Anthopoulos' news conference at the Rogers Center. The Blue Jays have added some bullpen depth today in Mark Lowe from the Seattle Mariners. They've added a platoon outfielder who hits left-handers in Ben Revere. And they've continued to move out minor league pitching in order to get the deal done. Of the pitchers sent away today, a couple were considered prospects. And I went out on Twitter today and I mentioned this to people. Not every minor leaguer traded is a prospect. We used to reserve the word prospect for minor leaguers we thought had a real good chance of making the majors. You know, Rob Rasmussen is not a prospect. Rob Rasmussen is a 26-year-old guy who might be a depth guy at best. He's not a prospect. So I just want people to remember that not everybody, not every minor leaguer moved is a prospect. And not every minor leaguer moved is a surefire major leaguer. And I think what you saw with Alex Anthopoulos today, he did his heavy lifting earlier in the week, getting Troy Tulowitzki, certainly yesterday getting David Price. And today was fine tuning. Today was addressing specific issues. And they have done that with the acquisition of Ben Revere and Mark Lowe. Looking elsewhere at the trade deadline, my biggest takeaway from this is you look at the teams that are around the Jays right now, that the Jays are competing with for a playoff spot. We'll start in the American League East. The Baltimore Orioles added Parra today, an outfielder. They didn't get Ben Revere. Tampa Bay has traded Kevin Jepsen, one of their relievers. The Red Sox, and again, the deadline is now over at 4 o'clock. The paperwork will have to be filed for deals. We're waiting to see if the Red Sox did anything. The New York Yankees added Dustin Ackley. Minnesota, the team that the Jays are chasing, added Kevin Jepsen. And really, Houston and L.A., who are contending for the American League West title. The Astros and Angels both added to strengthen their run. Of course, Kansas City added Johnny Cueto, who will pitch tonight for the Royals against the Blue Jays. So, I mean, if I'm looking at that, all things considered, the teams around the Blue Jays, I don't think necessarily did anything that would give you tremendous cause for concern. Some final deals. John Heyman at CBS Sports, we can confirm this. The New York Yankees wound up standing pat. They did not make any move other than Dustin Ackley. The Detroit Tigers have acquired right-handed pitchers Michael Fulmer and Luis Sessa from the Mets for Yoenis Céspedes. Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Padres, and if you think of all the rumors around the Padres, James Shields was going to go, Andrew Cashner was going to go, Tyson Ross was going to go. The Padres ended up standing pat. And this from Ken Rosenthal, because general manager A.J. Preller believes the team can reach the postseason. I was a little skeptical of the Padres making a lot of moves to begin with, because when you look at what they did in the offseason and the amount of moves they made, it made little sense to panic this soon. So the Padres stood pat, and the Orioles did make a move. They added Junior Lake from the Cubs for Tommy Hunter. So the Orioles made a couple of additions, but more than anything else, they were just fine-tune additions to their lineup. As I said, most of the heavy lifting was done yesterday and the day before by a couple of teams. So that is it. Now, just because the non-waiver trade deadline has transpired doesn't mean that teams can't make deals from this point on. In point of fact, a lot of big deals are made in August. In order to do that, of course, the player has to go through waivers again. And that's where you get into the process of teams claiming players and waivers to block a potential move. It's harder to make a deal after July 31st. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. I mean, the Jays were in Boston one year where, I'm sorry, Boston was playing the New York Yankees one year with the season on the line, and they made a move before the final series of the year, adding Mike Stanton, a pitcher who wasn't going to go on the postseason roster, just to get him through a series. So teams will do that. Teams will do that. So I would think if you're the Blue Jays right now, you're probably, as much as Alex Anthopoulos is done right now, I wouldn't necessarily preclude perhaps another player joining this organization in August. A lot will depend on Devin Travis's injury. The Jays put Devin Travis on the DL today. David Price is activated, or shouldn't say activated. David Price takes his spot for now. Devin Travis going on the DL with a shoulder issue. And David Price expected to start on Monday. But Devin Travis's status is something the Blue Jays will want to monitor. Right now, Troy Tulowitzki will be leading off. John Gibbons on Baseball Central today saying he, absent that prototypical leadoff hitter, his philosophy is let's get the best hitters in the lineup as many at bats. So Troy Tulowitzki for now will be at the top of the order. At some point, I suppose, John Gibbons may look at potentially running Ben Revere out at the top of the order, but that's not going to be the case right out of the gate. So let me tell you what we are going to do today. We will not have the regular Friday roundtable. Paul Jones will join me at 5 o'clock. We're going to get Bob McCowan's reaction at 5 o'clock. Bob's off. He's going to be back on Monday. I didn't want to wait till Monday. We didn't want to wait until Monday to get Bob's reaction to the Jays' trades. You think back to a lot of the things Bob has said going up to this point. Bob, like a lot of us, kind of looked at the Blue Jays' pitching depth and came to the conclusion that, you know what, maybe you keep your powder dry. Maybe you keep your powder dry. And a lot of us were saying that. You know, some of us were saying, though, the one exception is David Price. And I didn't think the Tigers would give in on David Price because I, quite frankly, didn't think the Tigers would be in a position where they would essentially decide to fold their tent this year. Once David Price went on the market, I mean, I have no problem doing what the Jays did to get David Price. I certainly wouldn't have done it for Johnny Cueto. I certainly wouldn't have done it for Scott Kazmir. I may have considered doing it for a guy like Carlos Carrasco, a guy I have a little bit of control over. Anyhow, Bob McCowan will join us. We'll get his reaction to the Blue Jays transactions. Joe Siddle, our Blue Jays color analyst, will join us from the ballpark. And then to wrap it all up at 6:30 and get you set for tonight's second game of the four-game series between the Jays and Royals at the Rogers Center. To wrap it all up, one of our favorites, Jonah Carey from Grantland, will join us at 6:35. We'll take a wider look around Major League Baseball at some of the moves that were made today. We'll take a look at the winners. We'll take a look at the losers. We'll take a look at who stood pat, why they may have stood pat. We'll do that with Jonah Carey at 6:35. Potentially, we will have a David Price press conference at 6 o'clock. If you follow David Price on Twitter, and if you don't, you should. You know by now that he had a flat tire and was delayed getting to Toronto. He had a flat tire someplace in Michigan and was delayed getting to Toronto. David Price tweeting out that Bell Tire came to his assistance. Via Rail reached out to him. David Price is expected in uniform tonight. Will likely throw a side session tonight. And John Gibbons saying that he will start Monday against the Minnesota Twins. R.A. Dickey will start Sunday in what would have been Felix Dubron's turn in the rotation. So we are awaiting a press conference with Alex Anthopoulos. We will go there live. We'll have it on the Sportsnet regional channels, as well as 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And David Price expected to speak at some point in the 6 o'clock hour. We will carry that live as well. Taking a look around, some of the pitchers who didn't move, some of the players who didn't move that were rumored to move. James Shields, Jeff Samardzija. Unless somebody filed paperwork, they're with their current teams. The Chicago White Sox having a change of heart and hanging on to Jeff Samardzija. Aroldis Chapman, he is still with the Reds. No way I don't think the Reds were going to move Aroldis Chapman. I just, that would have surprised me. Craig Kimbrell still with the Padres. Padres deciding, you know what, we're not out of it yet. Same thing with Justin Upton. Jonas Cespedes has moved. We can report to the New York Mets for prospects. And, of course, Cole Hamels, the big move, finalized last night. So he finalized this morning once the medicals were all done. Cole Hamels with the Texas Rangers. I would think if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you are pretty happy with the way this trade deadline expired. You went after David Price, the big guy, the guy available. You were helped by the fact that the Kansas City Royals already went in on Johnny Cueto. You were helped by the fact that the Houston Astros already went in Scott Kazmir. You were helped by the fact that the Astros focused on Cole Hamels instead of David Price, lost Cole Hamels to Texas. You know, a lot of things went Alex Anthopoulos' way. A lot of the teams with minor league depth who were pursuing David Price or who might have been expected to pursue David Price fell out of the picture because they made previous moves. The Dodgers were the finalists for David Price along with the Blue Jays. They were not willing to give up their top two prospects. Consequently, David Price ended up going to the Blue Jays for Jairo Labour, Daniel Norris, and Matt Boyd. And at the end of the day, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you have added, in the span of a little more than 72 hours, the best shortstop in the game in Troy Tulowitzki. You have him under control for 4 or 5 more years. You have added Ben Revere, a useful outfielder. You have him under control through 2018. And you've added Troy Tulowitzki. We're going to go now to Alex Anthopoulos' press conference at the Rogers Center.
We're pleased to announce both the acquisition of Ben Revere and Mark Lowe. And both we obviously feel will help the club. Lowe is someone that can pitch in the late innings, tremendous stuff, is having a wonderful year. We got to see him in Seattle, but we've been following him prior to that. He's had an outstanding year for Seattle. So excited to add him to the bullpen. And a guy like Ben Revere, when Saunders went down, someone that brings an element to our lineup that we don't have, contact bat with speed. That's normally the best combination unless you get contact with power, which is almost impossible to find. But contact with speed is huge. Left-handed and range, the role would be a corner outfield, left field. And having range in the outfield, which he's done a very good job on the corners. I know he came up as a center fielder and was primarily center fielder for a long time. I've watched him a lot this year. has been very good defensively in the lineup. So that other element is when we traded Reyes, we lost the speed element, the ability to steal a base. So just having
that guy that can come up and...
This is Sportsnet 590, the fans' coverage of a live event. Alex Anthopoulos is speaking at the Rogers Center.
Steal a base when everyone in the park knows he's going. It just completely... new element for our offense. And also we wanted to tighten up the defense, which is going to help the bullpen and the rotation as well. And we think in left field he's going to be very solid for us defensively.
Please raise your hand for questions and wait for a mic to be delivered to you. Questions?
Alex, now that the deadline has passed, how do you assess your own performance at this deadline in relation to the rest of Major League Baseball and to the AL East especially?
Oh, I never look at it that way. And you're doing it as a group, but I'm not sitting there in my office by myself or in a room. We have a huge staff that's obviously very involved, getting information, reports. You have doctors and trainers. That's the one thing I always say, it's hard to make trades, but things come up along the way, even when you think you have a deal and there might be an issue with someone's health. So, and we really don't follow what other teams are doing. I mean, we do a little bit, but we're not concerned about it. I mean, I was talking to GM earlier today that they're doing very well, and he said he wasn't going to do much. And if you're 25 games over 500 or 30 games over 500, you shouldn't have to do much. So just an opportunity to get better. Would love for it to have been in May or June, but this is one of the times of year that all the clubs are active, everyone's engaged, and it's an opportunity to add players.
Alex, how much do you think you were able to make these trades was due to the fact that, the organization's draft fairly wisely lately and you had quite a few cards to play with in the minors?
Yeah, I think it's a huge element. And I know I'd say it all the time. It's just I just think those people don't get talked about enough. The guys in the minor leagues, the coordinators, and obviously all the scouts that are out there. They're the ones doing this, and they're giving us the players to go make these trades to add to the big league team. So I came up in scouting. I love scouting. It's probably the thing I enjoy the most about the game. I don't get to do it nearly as much being in this role, but I know what those guys go through, and I've never really worked on the development side, but I know those guys spend a ton of hours. So you can't thank them enough for being able to produce these players. And even with all the ones we've traded over the years, we continue to replenish. We have a lot of rounds in the draft, and our scouting department keeps finding players, and development keeps doing their job. So can't thank them enough for that.
Alex, just back here. The acquisition of Mark Lowe from the Mariners, when did that kind of come down as far as knowing that he'd be available? You guys did give up a little bit. He is a guy who is out of a contract at the end of the season. And where do you kind of see him fitting in the bullpen?
Yeah, in terms of where he's going to fit in the bullpen, the manager will decide that. He's got the stuff and he's performed where he could pitch in the late innings. But look, I think our bullpen's really starting to be deep with power arms, and that's exciting. So it's a great problem to have. And the other component, I talked about this a few years ago, is as much as you look at the Royals and they have those 7, 8, 9, those guys aren't available every day. And even last night we went with LaTroy Hawkins, Sanchez, and Osuna. If you're in those tight games, those guys aren't necessarily going to be available every day. So the deeper that you can be, the more options you have, the more protected you're going to be. And also, you get to the playoffs, a lot of those teams, those starters are going 5 innings, and you need those bullpens. They're pretty important. So there was a lot of relievers out there in trade. This was an upside guy that's performed that's maybe not as famous, but he's performing as well as some of the other relievers in the game, and the acquisition costs work for us.
Alex Jean-François de Radio-Canada, je voulais d'abord savoir personnellement comment cette semaine-là a été excitante avec tout le magasinage de dernière minute, comme on peut dire, et qu'est-ce que les deux joueurs aujourd'hui vont apporter maintenant à la formation?
Non, c'est sûr que chaque fois qu'on a une chance d'ajouter des joueurs, on est vraiment content. Puis avec les deux joueurs, Ben Revere puis Mark Lowe, c'est deux gars qui vont nous aider immensement. Ben Revere, il va jouer champ gauche contre les droitiers. Puis Mark Lowe, c'est un gars qui peut lancer dans les manches dans 7, 8, 9, n'importe quel. Puis c'est deux joueurs qu'on a vraiment amélioré l'équipe et on est vraiment content au même temps. Excusez-moi? Ah, sûrement. J'aimerais ça qu'on a si on pouvait faire des échanges comme ça dans le mois de mai ou dans le mois de juin, mais c'est le mois de juillet que tout arrive et c'est vraiment la dernière semaine que toutes les équipes commencent à vraiment parler. C'est excitant pour l'organisation. Je suis sûr que c'est excitant pour tout le pays aussi. Mais en même temps, on veut juste gagner des matchs et se rendre dans les séries éliminatoires.
Alex, sorry, back here.
Yep.
Could you tell us a little bit about the welcome wagon you've rolled out for David Price? Is this something you do for all the players with the popcorn in the locker? And do you have room left in the locker to put a spare tire in there?
Well, he asked for it, right? So you guys saw the tweet. So a lot of times players ask for things with what we can pull off. Popcorn's very doable. We'll do that for him. So we're excited to have him. We try to go out of our way to make everybody feel welcome. I think the greatest compliment we've gotten as an organization, and this is well beyond me, and this is to the support staff, is, you know, Mark Burley's always said that he doesn't know that he would have considered this Toronto as a free agent at the time, and now that he's been here, it would have been top of his list. He's loved the organization, and that's more a reflection of the people that his wife is dealing with, family, the clubhouse staff, making them comfortable, and playing between the lines. That goes without saying, wherever you're going to be. It's a reflection on the city. It's a reflection on the fan base. So hopefully David and Mark and Ben and obviously Troy, they all feel the same way, and they speak well of the organization. That can only help us going forward.
Alex, as you were examining your final day options today, where on your list was a starting pitcher? Was it something that might have been possible today? And just curious, with the depth in the bullpen now, if there ever was a need, could there be a scenario where Sanchez could be stretched out again?
Yeah, we continued to discuss starters even after every move. We stayed in contact with some clubs. I think Heron was the only one moved. I haven't checked, obviously, since 4 o'clock passed if anyone else got traded. But there was a few other ones out there in a leak move last night. We stayed in contact. We just couldn't line up on a trade. And sure, it would have been nice to continue to add, but for various reasons, we just weren't able to get anything done from that standpoint. With respect to role changes and things like that, it hasn't been discussed. Me and John haven't even had a chance to even sit down and go through some things. We have to decide when Lowe comes here. We're going to have to make a move. We're already at an eight-man pen. Or we want to stay with an eight-man pen. There's a few things we need to work through. We don't need to do them tonight, but by tomorrow we're going to need to make some decisions. So it's just kind of hold up in the office on the phone and doing work today, and we'll let all that settle once the game's over tonight.
Hey, Alex, you said during the Price deal it's a very consuming process, and that after that you're going to have to circle back to some other things. Are the, you know, Lowe and Revere, are these deals an example of you circling back, or did they just kind of come up today?
No, they weren't new. We had asked Seattle about Lowe for a while, but they just weren't in a rush to do anything. And I think they were waiting to work on some other things. And, you know, a lot of times, look, when you're talking to a club and you end up getting a trade done with one player, probably in that conversation you talked about some other players and you just couldn't get it done and you separated it. So, and you can target players that are scheduled to be free agents. You know, the likelihood is, if you're pretty confident they're not going to get qualifying offers, that they're going to be available unless that club's in contention. So we target some of those guys. Those are the guys you ask about. We asked about Lowe, and he said he would move him. Just he needed some time, needed to work through some things. So just stayed in contact with Jack and called him a few times early this morning to wake him up. And I have a good relationship with Jack, so I called him at 5:30 his time and 9 and all that, and he was on his way in at 6 a.m. Seattle time. So I would just be able to get the deal done.
Alex, to your left. With the moves you made this week, what message do you want these moves to send to the guys in the clubhouse about the performance so far and the expectations, I guess, for the rest of the season?
You know, I've never looked at it that way. I don't think internally as a group we've talked about it that way. I think they speak for themselves. We're adding to the team. We're trying to get better. I don't think with the group of players we have, we don't need to send anything. I mean, we don't need to signify. They want to win. I mean, we know that. Look, 29 other clubs are in the same boat, so we want to get better. I think what making these moves and adding is a reflection of the fact that we do believe in them. We believe in the talent. We believe we have a chance to get to the postseason, and then at that point anything can happen. So, you know, it's a credit to them. The players put us in a position to make these moves. You know, if we were 10, 20 games under 500, we're not in that position. So all those guys in that clubhouse, they deserve the credit for having us. You know, we're in a position, we're two out of a wild card spot. They're the ones that put us in that position, the manager, the coaches, and so on. So it would have been a lot harder on my end if we had been more games out. That's where it becomes more challenging. But they made it easy with us being this close to go out and make some moves.
Alex, did you purposely in the offseason kind of hang on to some of your available financial resources or prospect capital to give you flexibility around this time of the year, or how did you balance those two things?
Yeah, no, that was definitely part of the thought process. We were very careful with, we made some moves in the offseason, but we were very careful with what we did, and we just wanted to be very confident in what prospect capital we used, what dollars we used, because ultimately we felt no matter how good you feel about your team, come July, players get hurt, players aren't performing, you're going to have needs. So we wanted to give ourselves as much flexibility as we could. And I think so far it worked out. We stayed in contention. We had the flexibility available. Obviously, ownership has to give us those resources to be able to do it. And, we were able to make a big splash the international signing period with Vladdy Guerrero Jr., and that was a big expenditure there. And obviously bringing in guys like Price and with the money he makes, from an ownership standpoint, they gave us everything that we can ask for. So, but it was done by design to leave us a little bit of room and to not maybe jump out and do some things that we weren't totally committed to in the offseason.
Yeah, Alex, getting back to Revere, you said it wasn't new, it wasn't a quick deal overnight. But how did that, you mentioned calling Jack this morning, how did that one come together?
Yeah, Revere is just, we knew he was available. Just with his service time, his salary, he'll be arbitration eligible next year. Those things come into play. You can start to project maybe some players might be getting squeezed out with the number of outfielders that they had. I mean, it was well known that there may not be a spot for him going forward with the direction that the Phillies were going in. And I don't want to speak for them, but I think everyone had a sense that Revere could be a guy that was available. And there were a few outfielders that were available, and some got moved. So outfield wasn't high on the priority list. It was always, I'd say it was more of a want than a need. And that's why we wanted to address the rotation first and foremost. That was definitely a need. And with Revere and some of the other outfielders, we just stayed in contact. And I think he was the best fit for us and for our team. I don't know that if the lineup was constructed as separate. We have so much power all over the place. I mean, you have your shortstops, a middle of the order power hitter. You know, that allows you to carry a left fielder that's not a power hitter. That's the profile that he brings: contact, slap the ball around, run and create havoc on the base pass, things like that. So he's a good fit for this lineup, for this team, in left field. And some of the other guys we would have loved to have had as well, but Ben was a good fit. But it was on again, off again, even today. I know there was reports a bunch of times today that we had a deal done and we weren't even talking. So we had three, four outfielders in play throughout the day. We were going back and forth. And it kind of came together very late. But there was a lot of false reports about the Revere stuff today. And at some points, it was just, there wasn't anything. And it was that he was going to come here. So I think we had stayed in contact with him over time on and off. But the deal did get done late. Down the road, Michael Saunders is our left fielder. I mean, there's no change in that respect. But Mike right now is hurt. He has the knee issue. He's not playing in rehab games. And at some point, he's going to get going, we hope. And that's a 20-day rehab assignment. And from that point, we'll see. But we expect him back in September. But the other thing with Michael is, look, we hope he's back and he's playing great. You don't know how his knee's going to respond in terms of days off, things like that. But Michael's definitely still the long-term guy for us. We're very excited about him, and that hasn't changed. But we're into the month of August at this point. He hasn't started a rehab assignment. We had a chance to improve the team. And when he's back and we know he's 100% healthy, we'll be in great shape.
Alex, I remember over here. When you announced the Russell Martin signing, you said that, you described that being very determined to make that deal. And I think there's a moment when you said to his agent, we're going to get the player. Did you come into this week determined to be as aggressive as you were, knowing that you were going to make all of these moves?
No, actually not at all. There were a lot of times this week I thought we may not do much. But, you have to wait till the end of the week. But no, there were many times that, especially early on, I'm trying to remember when some of these deals happened. Tulowitzki, I think, was on Monday night, or we announced on Tuesday. So, you know, we had tried to do some things on the weekend, and they fell through. And, you know, you just, it's, you know, deals get done all the time. And I know it seems like it was a flurry of them, and they're so easy to make. But, God, it's amazing how many things end up falling apart because there's another piece that needs to be added, or someone has an issue with their health. But no, there were a lot of times I was not optimistic. The prices were just too high for us. And then all of a sudden things came together. But we didn't come in here and say, let's go do five things, six things. Sure, you'll want to, but I had no idea how the week was going to play out. And even actually, I could say, I didn't go to bed last night thinking, okay, we're going to add Mark Lowe and Revere today. It was just, those guys are available. They're probably getting moved. Are we actually going to get a shot at them? I have no idea. We'll see what tomorrow brings.
Alex, rightly or wrongly, there's a perception stretching long before your regime that this was a club that lacked real aspiration, that Yankees, Red Sox, let's go do whatever we have to do to win right now. Has that changed this week?
I mean, I hope, like you said, rightly or wrongly, I mean, from our standpoint, that's why I think people talk about, you know, the comment, and we talked about it yesterday, all in and things like that. I mean, we're trying to win each year. We haven't gotten there. You know, we've had some good seasons, over 500, all that type of stuff, but we do want to try to win every year, and I can't speak to the perception. It's obviously that's not what you want as an organization, and if this week changes that perception across the industry, great. That wasn't the intent. The intent is to win and to get to the playoffs. So if this all helps change things, all that's great. I mean, if that's a byproduct of it. But I mean, I think with what we've done, you know, from the off-season signings, you know, from the commitment from ownership, from a payroll standpoint, all those things. I think to the players we have in that that clubhouse right now, sure, we all want to win. I mean, but I mean, for me to come out and say we're committed to winning and this and that, I mean, I think every GM can say that in any sport. So I'm stating the obvious there, but we're excited. And I love the fact that we're in a position to do some things and be this close.
Alex, I know you're in a bit of a bubble there, but have you got a feeling from the fan base what these moves have made to them? Have you, obviously I would assume you've sensed some things, but have you have a feeling how this has affected the fan base?
You know what? I haven't, just because it's like we've been holed up for the last, I don't know, like 4 or 5 days since the Troy Tulowitzki deal. I mean, that was the first one. But we've been so busy on the phone. I haven't. It's been a lot of late nights, and you know, you get home, and I haven't really had a chance to sit back and watch TV. And sure, we had MLB Network on for a bit today, but I haven't. I haven't been out. I mean, I've missed all types of, you know, meals and events and everything. It's been a whirlwind in a lot of ways. So I haven't really been out and get back to my routine and all that type of stuff. So I'm going to get out a little bit more, and hopefully, it's a great reaction. But you know, I'm more curious. See, like, the attendance and the turnout of the fans and all that kind of stuff. And sure, you go get a coffee, I'm sure someone's going to say something. But I'm excited to see now that we're done with the trade deadline, how excited the fans are. I hope they are. Hope our attendance really spikes. And hope we start winning games. And, you know, everyone across Canada gets really excited.
Alex, with four outfielders under club control now in the next year, where does that leave Dalton Pompey? And I'm just curious, just offhand, who do you view kind of now as maybe the elite prospects you have in the system?
You know, I can't come out and say who the elite prospects are because it's not fair to those guys. And it changes. I mean, there's guys that, I mean, I would have told you Connor Green, who I know, not sure a few of you know, but he's a good prospect, and he just exploded this past year. And to me, he's becoming one of our top prospects. And if I wouldn't have told you that in March, he's up to 97 miles an hour, throwing a ton of strikes. Sean Reed Foley was a high pick, so he's expected to be a good prospect, but guys emerge and come on. So Dalton Pompey, we're excited about. I mean, he was scheduled to spend the year in the Florida State League last year. He performed so well. He flew up, and he did well, and he's doing very well since he went back to AAA. He's playing extremely well, and he's got a bright future, and we expect it to be in Toronto. But having too many players, too many outfielders, come the off season, we thought we had too many center fielders last year with Pompey, Ghost, Pilar. You know, things change fast. So we'll deal with that in the offseason. It's a great problem to have. I like having all those outfielders under control. You need depth, especially in the middle of the diamond. Center field's hard to fill. And I like, I mean, that was a big part of the appeal to Ben Revere, the fact that we do have the option to have him under control on a year-to-year basis. That helps. So, and again, it is having the flexibility to do some things is big going into an offseason.
Alex, back here in the corner again. David Price's news conference was scheduled for 3:30 today, but of course his day got off to a bit of a bumpy start on his commute up here. I know you've been busy all day. Have you had a chance to talk to him? And what do you think of the situation of him just, we're following his ride to Toronto basically on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah. All I heard, because I was so busy, obviously just got a quick update that he had a flat tire and it was being addressed and our guys were going to help him out, and I think he's supposed to meet with you guys, I think, between 6 and 7. He is in Canada, is the last I heard. He's crossed the border. I don't know where he is other than that, but he's going to be here at some point. He called me yesterday after the trade was done. Talked to him pretty fast, probably for a few minutes. He was excited. You know, I did see some of the tweets and things like that. I was told about them. It was nice to see. You hear he's a great guy. RA knows him well. They share the same agent as well, so... he said he was excited, and I know RA says he's a tremendous guy. So excited to have him, and you guys will get a chance to meet him, and excited to see him pitch.
Anything further? Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that was Alex Anthopoulos at the Rogers Center. This is Jeff Blair. This is Primetime Sports. We'll be back at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go! Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
All right, welcome back to Primetime for Friday, July 31st, a special Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline version of Primetime Sports. Paul Jones will join me at 5 o'clock. The roundtable has been given the week off. Bob McCowan has had the week off, but Bob McCowan will join us around 5 o'clock. We'll get Mr. McCowan's take on Alex Anthopoulos' activity at the trade deadline. We will be joined by the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos, and we will also be joined at some point, can't say when, between 6 and 7, by David Price, who was due to have a 3:30 news conference today, but if you follow him on Twitter, you know that he had a flat and that he couldn't find a tire to fit the car. And consequently, he sent out a plea for help on Twitter that was answered by Bell Tire in Michigan. Also, apparently, Via Rail reached out to him as well. So, as Alex Anthopoulos said, we do know that David Price is in Canada. He has crossed the border. We need, like, you know, NORAD, where they have the Santa tracker? We really need to set up a David Price tracker. Anyhow, David Price is en route to the stadium, and at some point we will hear from David Price. Just to wrap things up for you before the top of the hour, the Jays made a couple of moves today. They got a right-handed pitcher in Mark Lowe. They got a lefty hitter in Ben Revere, who will platoon in left field, give them a little bit of speed, give them a little more balance. They also sent Felix Dubrunt to the Oakland Athletics for cash considerations. There were a lot of other moves made around Major League Baseball. Not the blockbusters today that we all expected, but we will deal with that. We'll also deal with what the Blue Jays did. Alex Anthopoulos, Bob McCowan, Joe Siddle, Jonah Carey, they'll all join us. David Price as well. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.